This is the KVNF Regional Newscast for Monday, January 11th. I'm Gavin Dahl. You Have the Right is a new statewide initiative of the Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault. Since 1984, they have offered programs to educate and empower survivors on their rights and their options. The nonprofit works in coalition with public health agencies, campuses, medical professionals, and public officials to not only support survivors, but also work to end sexual violence. Program manager Jenna Harper spoke with KVNF's Kate Redmond about their new website. This interview may trigger some listeners.
The You Have the Right website, as well as the You Have the Right campaign, which is becoming a public awareness toolkit, came about to help around the state to provide some general awareness to what those options are, both for professionals, but also for the general public.
On your website, you say that 16 to 40% of sexual assaults are never reported to the police.
Sexual assault is one of the most underreported crimes, if not the most underreported crime out there. And there are a lot of forms of sexual violence that aren't even codified as crimes that still cause harm to people. Getting statistics on prevalence rates of people who experience sexual violence is challenging because there's a huge stigma attached to sexual violence. The vast majority, they do not report to law enforcement.
What resources are there for men or boys who have survived sexual assault, given the extra stigma that they endure?
Sexual violence happens to people of all gender identities, and it's hard for anyone to disclose or tell somebody that they've experienced sexual violence. But I think that there are some added barriers for boys and men. Every program that is on that website, every program here in Colorado, they serve people who are women, who are men, who are non-binary, who are trans, or people of all gender identities.
Can you just go through and describe some of the resources on your website out there for survivors?
Specifically, the youhavetherightcolorado.org. We have a tab for survivors. Was I assaulted? Is one of the first questions that you'll come to in that drop down. One of the biggest barriers to seeking support, whether that's advocacy support, whether that's medical support, whether that's the choice to report to law enforcement, is actually defining your experience as sexual assault and something that would be codified as a crime. Looking that up, do I need medical care? Who can I talk to for help? Is it going to be confidential? What are my legal options? I don't even know what to do at this point. Those are all questions that you could find answers to under that tab. If you're somebody who's supporting somebody who experiences or who's experienced sexual assault, we oftentimes get calls from parents or partners or teachers, and they say, what do I even do? There are some answers there that we can give to you about the logistics about what can happen. Like, who can I refer to them to speak to that's a professional and knows what to say? Who's going to pay for a medical forensic exam? And then again, we have for professionals, specifically by discipline. And if instead you just want to talk to somebody, you can go to Find Support Services, put in your location, and you can talk to somebody over the phone. And if COVID allowing, you can speak to somebody in person and meet with them.
That was Jenna Harper, Program Manager for the Colorado Coalition Against Sexual Assault, talking with KVNF's Kate Redmond about their statewide initiative to support survivors of sexual violence. You can find all their resources at youhavetherightco.org. Remember back when people were panic buying burger, meat prices were erratic, and there were concerns about the food supply chain? The Mountain West News Bureau's Madeline Beck has updates to the beef situation.
Panic buying has settled down a bit, but there's still a lot of people buying meat that's easier to cook themselves. That's according to Chelsea Good at the Livestock Marketing Association.
Ground beef, hamburger, to some degree roast, things people know how to prepare at home and are, pretty comfortable with.
That's not as true for higher-end cuts of beef, and Good says that translates to lower costs and some sales at grocery stores. But actually getting the meat to the store is still a bit of an issue, especially for some of those nicer local cuts. The problem is processing the meat. Workers at some of the large plants were hit hard by COVID-19. That slowed those facilities down, so many ranchers turned to the smaller butchering facilities. And then they got backed up. Good says it's even affecting hunters looking to get deer processed.
They called their local meat lockers and got quite a surprise in terms of the wait time. I've heard of some that are backed up well into even 2022.
Exacerbating things further is a growing trend of ranchers selling to consumers directly. That trend has increased during the pandemic. Lorianne Lau is one rancher using that method. She's been selling direct to consumer around Idaho and Utah for 16 years. But when she called her butcher back in May, he was already booked clear through April 2021.
We've just been following up with him trying to say, you know, if you can sneak any in, we'd sure love to. And he's like, you and everybody and their uncle.
Lau says her sales have picked up during the pandemic because people were concerned about the meat supply chain. They wanted to buy directly from ranchers. Lau is also president of the Caribou County Farm Bureau in Southeast Idaho, and she wants it to be easier for small operations to butcher cattle.
There are state-inspected systems in states like Utah and Wyoming, but they have to follow the federal model, which comes with a whole lot of gobbledygook.
That gobbledygook includes getting a USDA inspector and providing facilities for them. And that's just easier for large operations with economies of scale. According to the most recent numbers, only four companies control 80% of the beef processing market. Lau wants both safety and access for small operations.
Perhaps there is nothing better than the federal model, but perhaps there is. And it would be less, could be less onerous. And then, therefore, in 2-3 years, we could invent this new model and we could actually have something that would be equally protective, but not as onerous as the existing systems.
But not everyone wants to operate direct to consumer. There's still a massive need for the larger scale, lower cost operations to supply stores. And the ranchers in that business took a hit this year. Eric Belasco is an agriculture economist at Montana State University. He says live cattle prices dipped about 11% between mid-February and mid-December. The culprit, yet again, processing.
Really, a lot of the pressure seems to be on the processing side. That's where the live cattle market is the one that has just seen a huge drop in prices that just has not recovered.
He says the bottleneck in processing plants could contribute to a price decline, and even large processors could be playing catch-up. But he says there is some good news to this.
I think it's somewhat assuring that the volatility is down,
which means ranchers can budget.
And prices are down, but they weren't quite where they were back in April. So I think if we were back there, we could have imagined a scenario where it was a lot worse, but it's certainly not ideal.
Belasco says this year also shows how resilient the industry can be. For the last several months, you could still buy beef in the store, even as COVID-19 outbreaks spread through major packing plants around the nation. But of course, that highlights another change activists are calling for in the packing industry. More safety for workers. Tens of thousands got sick in the meat packing plants, and hundreds died, all trying to keep that meat moving. For the Mountain West News Bureau, I'm Madeline Beck.
That does it for the KVNF Regional Newscast. I'm Gavin Dahl. Thank you for supporting local, independent, nonprofit public media.